they've used the same vow as everybody else, but they've actually put in things personally. And they're not like clause one, in case this happens, and clause B, clause two, and you know, it doesn't go on for 3 hours. If she burns the rice, I have the right to. Blah, 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 blah. And, you know, oh, it doesn't go on to all. No, it's a declaration of commitment, of love. It's a covenant. It's an undertaking to do something in a positive way. And when we talk about the covenant, we're not talking about lots of legal agreements. We're talking about God's settled heart to do us good and bless us in a very wonderful way. And we enter not into a legal, just to, some kind of formal agreement that we never read. We enter into a deep commitment. And when I look at the word covenant, and I've given it here in the notes too, the word covenant, really, in the Greek here, it's the word, if you know any Greek, one of the first words you learn if you learn New Testament Greek is that the New Testament is called Ekaini Diatheke. There you are. You'll remember that, won't you? Ekaini Diatheke. When you come to my Greek classes next year, I'll teach you that. Ekaini Diatheke. What does that mean? The New Covenant. And it's the New Testament on the front page of your New Testament. The New Covenant. What does it mean? Well, the normal word for an agreement was sunthiki, which means two people agreeing. So you sell something and somebody buys and you've got obligations. And if something goes, that's the agreement. But the athiki is not that kind of agreement. It's more of a one-sided agreement, more like a will or a testament. So when I write my will and leave my millions to somebody, you know, the thing is, it's one side. This is what I want. And this word, the athiki, is more of, it's a one side, and it emphasizes the fact that God is in charge. We accept. This isn't a negotiation. This is God's will, and we have to enter into it. So, now then, covenants. Let's go to the first one then, on my list here, the covenant with Adam and Eve in paradise. And we come to this awareness that God is always making clear what his basis is to relate to people. And when people examine these things, of course, when we get to the covenant with Adam and Eve in paradise, we're asking, well, we don't know a lot about it. And in Hosea chapter 6, verse 7, I've quoted it here. It says, but like Adam, they transgressed the covenant. So clearly, according to Hosea, there was a covenant between Adam and God, which he transgressed. Well, we know that the covenant was quite simply, don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's interesting there, even in my notes, I've put only half of what God said. God didn't say that. Well, you know what he said before he said that? He said, of all the trees of the garden you may eat. There's 9,999 trees here you can eat. Only one you can't eat. And often people say, God's the God of the negative. No, no, no. He started off by saying, go on, enjoy yourself. And when you look at God's law or God's ways, God isn't the God of the negative. He says, I want you to enjoy your life. I want you to enjoy food, and I want you to enjoy your life, and all kinds of things. I want to enjoy living. But there's certain things you must not do. And God said, don't do this. Now, at this point, we don't know exactly everything. We don't know very much. God warned him that if they did eat of that tree, they would die. In fact, he said, in the Hebrew, he said, dying you will die in the day you eat of it. Which meant the very second God said something's going to happen to you, and you don't know what it is yet, but I'll tell you what it is in words, it's death. Dying, you will die. And this brings out man's moral responsibility. As we go through the covenants, you'll realize that man has, by very virtue of what he is, we are in the image of God, and this means we have moral responsibility. We cannot escape it. And despite all this, remember that underneath everything God was saying was something called the need for faith. You need to believe God. And Adam needed to believe God. This was a covenant of faith. There were things he didn't know. And remember that in faith and trust, there will always, by nature of the word trust, there'll be some things that you don't understand. If faith were not necessary and trust, it would mean you'd understand everything. But God says, my relationships are all built on faith. Now, I've used this example. I haven't used it before this week, but this week I've used it 3 times, and I think there's somebody here going to hear it for the 3rd time, because I said this at Tungling, and then I said it at the cathedral on Tuesday, and I'm going to say it here. But let me ask you, does anybody here believe I exist? You believe I exist? There's a good number. I think there's about 5. Jeremiah hasn't put his hand up, but nobody's put their hand up. But you do believe I... Thank you so much. There's one person over there quite sure I exist. And I exist. Do you believe I exist? That's great. That's tremendous. You know, I feel more comforted now. I feel that really I'm getting through. Do you trust me? You know, would you give me $1 million to keep for a few months? Somebody said they don't have it. All right. But you understand what I'm saying? Now I'm asking you to trust me. Believing God exists is different to believing in him as a person and trusting in him. Believing he exists, you don't need to have any relationship. The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. They know God exists. But they don't have relationship. But the point is, Adam was to build relationship. He was to trust God. And this word that comes in the book of Habakkuk, it says, the just shall live by faith. And this little word seems to come through again and again through the Old Testament and New Testament. If anybody's going to have any life at all, they've got to have faith. Now, this is going to be the case for all God's ways and works. You've got to believe him. Adam had to believe him. When God said, if you eat that tree, you'll die, Adam didn't believe it. He thought God was either kidding, or he thought maybe God doesn't know everything, or maybe I can find something out that proves God slightly wrong. Whatever the cause behind it, it was unbelief, lack of trust. It was the sin of unbelief that made Adam break the covenant. And that's why we say, like Adam, they transgressed the covenant. They did it through unbelief, and unbelief is a sin. Because if I said, give me all your money and trust me to use it wisely for a few months, of course, you wouldn't do that. You'd do that with somebody there was no reason for it. There's no reason. That's just too abstract. It's just too far-fetched.